Thank you very much. It's an honor to speak in front of this audience. Well, my title, I should say, could have been many things. It's not like I'm going to talk about some math related to T-duality, but in a background field, non-trivial background field. And so it's that phenomenon that I'm going to talk about. So I'll just tell you briefly about some references. So on how K theory enters in type 2 string theory via the classification of D-brains and charges. I guess the first paper on the subject was Manassian and Moore. And I guess here are two other papers that actually I've read, but I'm sure that I looked up the archives and there were at least 200 papers on string theory and K theory. So, but the two other papers that I've looked at here, and how twisted K theory, when you have a torsion twist, enters string theory. Ed Witten came up in his paper on D-brains and K theory, and later on in an overview of K theory applied to strings. And Kapustin also wrote a paper on this. So. It's not loud enough. It's weird. Yes, I'll speak louder.
That's hard to do.
Maybe fine. That just records. It doesn't. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I'll throw my voice a little longer. So this papers on how twisted K theory with a general twist, not just a torsion twist, enters. So the twist is related to the background flux, and when that's so actually I have no idea. Is it the green button which says it's on? It says
there's
power.
A light on.
Yeah, there's a light on. Yes. So several people proposed this. So Witten left it as a question in his paper on D-brains and K theory. He thought there wasn't a cohomology theory related, which was related to a general twist. But then actually we knew about such a thing in the literature. He just wrote a little note proposing that, and that was based on Jonathan Rosenberg's paper in 89. So there were, well, then a more detailed discussion is in this paper with my colleagues in Adelaide. And at the same time, Grant Siegel and Michael Attia sort of came up with an independent sort of viewpoint, but on twisted K theory, and they wrote a longer paper on it, which is on the archives, and it's in Attia's collected works, volume 6. So now I'll just tell you a little bit about papers on T-duality. So T-duality was known a long time before, I just want to say, not reinventing it, but its relation via K-theory to K-theory is what that's the topic of my talk today. And so you can look at spacetimes which are trivial torus bundles, and there's a very nice and a topologically trivial background flux, and there's an excellent review article on by Hori on this in 99, but and then of course it's also discussed in Dinescu, Moore, and Witten. Okay, so I started working on T-duality with topologically non-trivial background flux. For the case of, so we started in a simple case of circle bundles, when the T-dual is always classical, and this is joint work with Peter Bartnik and Yara Eslin. And actually this work was inspired by work by Rabin and Rosenberg again, Rosenberg. And this is based on a paper in 1988. And And then, of course, things become more complicated when you look at higher rank principal bundles, and these are like torus bundles of rank n greater than or equal to 2. So we studied the case when there are certain, so not all background fluxes give you classical T-duals, and we first studied this with Peter Bartnik and Keith Hanabas. And so and then we looked at torus bundles with non-trivial background flux when the T-dual, we proposed the T-dual in the cases where the flux is not dualizable in a classical sense. The T-dual is not another torus bundle. We propose a T-dual which is a field of non-commutative tori, and I'll give three justifications for that. These are papers with Jonathan Rosenberg. And finally, the case when, so it turns out there's no obstruction when the rank is 2. When the rank is 3 and higher, there's still another obstruction to get a field of non-commutative tori. So the most general case is what did joint work with Keith Hanabas and Peter Bartnik, and this is he proposed non-associative tori as the T-dual, right? But it's, I want to tell you a little bit more about that. It's not as bad as you think. So it's associative in some nice tensor category. So what's the idea of T-duality? I mean, I'm probably talking, well, so the idea of T-duality is you look at a free theory, say, on a torus, so Rn mod gamma, the gamma is a lattice in Rn, and the partition function is some theta function, and there's a scale R, and the sum is over the dual lattice, which is a lattice in the dual vector space. So that's what I mean by the dual torus. So the Poisson summation formula, or in this case, like the Jacobi identity, will say that this partition function is equivalent to the partition function on the dual torus, where you exchange R to 1 on R modulo some universal constants, which I shall ignore. However, even in this situation, it becomes extremely complicated when you have a topologically non-trivial flux. Right? And even and this case is very interesting, and I'll discuss this towards the end. So this is like hoary. I'm just reviewing what's in the literature. So the space-time start off with the topologically trivial circle bundle, so it's M cross T. So I mean, I guess M would be nine-dimensional, but it doesn't matter in what I'm going to talk about. So and it starts with a trivial background flux. You could take a topologically trivial background flux, but I'll start, just keep it simple. Then the T-dual is the same space, M cross the dual circle, right? Well, almost the same space. And T-duality is realized by this correspondence. So you get M cross T, M cross T hat, that's a correspondence space, and you have the projections here and to these factors. So so there's a canonical line bundle on the circle cross the dual circle, and that's a Poincaré line bundle. I'll just review it just briefly, but I think everyone probably knows it here. So you have a free action of Z. So first of all, this line bundle has the property that when you restrict to each point in the dual circle, that can be viewed as a character of Z. You get a flat line bundle corresponding to over the circle. But of course, globally it's not flat. So, and globally it's defined as the action of Z on the universal cover of the circle across the dual circle C. And you take an integer, a real number, a character, and Z, and you translate the real number by n, leave the character alone, and multiply Z by the character evaluated at n. And the line bundle is the quotient under this action, and the curvature turns out to be d-theta, wedge d-theta hat, modulo again some universal constant. So in this case, t-dualizing on the circle, there are some Boucher rules for how to transform fields. So I'll just take G to be as say an even form, right? It, for Ramon-Ramon form, it has to be sort of closed, but let's take an even form. And you look at this formula, which is on the correspondence space. So you multiply by the Chern character of this Poincaré line bundle, wedge with G, and integrate over the circle. And you get something which lives on M cross the dual circle. So if it's, and G is even if it's tied to A, G is odd if it's tied to B. And it's closed, G is closed if and only if T star of G is closed. So the Boucher rules can be interpreted in this situation as an isomorphism from the cohomology on M cross the circle with the shifted cohomology. So say you take even cohomology on M cross the circle to the odd cohomology of M cross the dual circle. Or an odd goes to even, right? But then say it is argued by Manassian Moore first and then Horava and Moore written. I could get the history slightly wrong, but I think Manassian Moore was the first, and these two papers came much later. But type 2A string theory, the Ramon-Ramon fields, at least the topological part is classified by K0. You probably need a differential K theory to get it, to get the full fields. What I'm going to talk about is just about the topological bit. The fields are classified by K0, charges by K1, and in type 2B they're just switched. The fields by K1 and charges by K0. So the t-duality, which I talked to you on the level of differential forms, can be realized in K-theory, of course, in a very natural way. So you just use the same correspondence picture, and you get the t-duality isomorphism on K-theory by first you take, a vector bundle on M cross T, pull it back via the projection to the correspondence space, tensor with the Poincaré line bundle, and then, well, you push forward. Well, that's not a map on the level of bundles, but it's a map on the level of K-theory. Push forward under the projection map. So, t-duality in the absence of a background field, as you see, there's a flip from even to odd and odd to even K-theory. So it exchanges type 2A and type 2B theory. So you can also relate the two things that I said by the Chern character. So in this case, it commutes. This diagram commutes. So the aim is to generalize this to non-trivial background flux. So let me start. In the case of circle bundles, so in the work with Peter Bartnik and Jan Oslin, we looked at this case. So let E be a principal circle bundle or a manifold. Well, it's classified by its first Chern class, which is a degree 2 class, integer degree 2 class, and H flux H in the third cohomology of the total space. So the flux is on the living on the total space. So of course, I'm going to be somewhat slack here. I will represent this by differential forms. So if you want to really do it properly, you have to use differential cohomology. But I will be a bit slack here. So, but the t-dual of E is by definition another oriented circle bundle over M. It's not the dual, but it's what we call t-dual. So it has first Chern class, which is H, and you integrate it along the fiber. So it's this So that's another two cohomology class, which is integral. And via Giesing sequence for E, you get another H flux, H hat, which lives on the dual circle bundle, T dual circle bundle, which has the property that when you integrate along E, the fibers of E hat, you get the first gen class of the original circle bundle. So there's a perfect symmetry. I mean, as I've said it here, it's not quite unique, this EH hat, because you know anything lifted from the base will integrate to zero. But you can fix it once you choose connections on E and E hat. And I'll give you a formula for it. Right, so.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the only data you give them is this, the principal circle bundle and H.
So H is additional background.
Yeah, H is the additional background flux on E here. And it's...
And that's the definition.
The T-dual is E-hat and H-hat. Yeah, with these properties. So I'll write you. So I've given you what E hat is, but I haven't given you H hat. But I'll give you that on the choice of connections on these bundles. Yeah, yeah, no, no. This is the first gen class characterizes the circle bundle completely, right? You start off with H, which lives on E, integrate along the circle, and you get something which is the first gen class of another bundle, and that's E hat, right? That's given to you. And I'm saying that you can follow Giesing sequence and get H hat, but it's not completely specified. However, if you choose connections on E and E hat, I'll give you a formula for it, you can get H hat explicitly, which has this property that when you integrate along the dual circle, you get the first gen class of E. So there's a, you know, perfect symmetry here. That's what it's the best situation for T-duality. Things get much more complicated in higher rank. So the surprising new phenomenon, of course, this has been seen in other situations, as I later found out, is that there's a change in topology. So when the H flux is topologically non-trivial, so this can happen when the spacetime is, you start off with the product spacetime. So say ADS7, the ADS spaces seem to be very popular across T3. A trivial circle bundle viewed over M, which is ADS7 across T2. And the flux I'll take as A cup B, where A is K times the volume form on T2. And when you think of it as a form on the product, it's just pulled back. And B is the generator of the circle, of the cohomology of the circle. Then the T-dual in this case is ADS7 cross the Heisenberg-Mill manifold, which I shall describe in detail if you don't know what that is. It's just a circle bundle over the two torus with first gen class equal to K. Well, equal to K, A, which is K times the volume. Another example is ADS5 cross S5. So with trivial H flux, and that's T dual to ADS5 cross CP2 cross the circle, and the flux is again A, well, it's A cup B, where A is just the volume form on the CP2, and B is the it's the generator of H2 of CP2, and B is the generator of H1 of the circle. And T-duality, the way I've described it, exchanges the background H flux and the first gen class. So how is it implemented? So you have these circle bundles, the total spaces of the circle bundles, E and E hat. And well, instead of taking the product, you take the fiber product, which is the product of E. So the fiber product is you take E cross E hat, and this is a bundle over M cross M hat, M cross M, and then you have the diagonal here, and you just pull back. So this is the fiber product. So this replaces, say, M cross the circle cross the dual circle. So let me just go through the T-duality in this case. So you choose connections A and A hat on the bundles E and E hat, right? So these are one forms on the total spaces. So I'll ignore the pullback notation just because it gets a bit too complicated to write it down. It obscures it. So, and the rules for transforming the Ramon-Ramon fields, again, it's the Boucher rules. They can be encoded in this formula, which is, well, now it's A wedge A hat, right? And this formula lives on the correspondence space, which is the space. And you integrate over the circle. Now, A wedge A hat is not the Chern character of anything, right? As such. So again, if G is an even form, it's type 2A, an odd form if it's type 2B. Now, I want to introduce, twisted cohomology, which is defined as the cohomology of the complex, of differential forms on E, and it's instead of Durham differential, you take D minus H wedge. So it's a Z2 graded complex, even and odd grading, because and let F be the curvature of A, and F hat be the curvature of A hat. Right, then I claim that if you choose a nice representative for H, so something which is invariant under the circle, you can always choose something which is invariant under the circle, then the difference of H and A wedge F hat is something which is basic. Right, so it's a three-form omega which lives on M. So that's the important point. And the T-dual H flux is then defined as, H hat is defined as the curvature. So this lives on E hat. So it's a curvature which is living on M, pulled back to E hat, wedge the one-form A hat which lives on E hat, minus the same omega. Okay, so just note that on the correspondence space, D of A wedge A hat is the difference of these two two background fluxes. So with these formulas, it's clear. It turns out it's trivial that T star, which is given as such, takes DH closed forms G to DH hat closed forms, right? And T-duality in this situation induces, first of all, a map from, the even twisted cohomology to the odd twisted cohomology on E hat, and the twist is H hat, right? And it's very easy to show that this is indeed an isomorphism, so. So I want to lift this discussion to K-theory. So there's this proposal by Witten and Kapustin in the torsion case, and Peter and I, Mitty and Siegel, for the general twist, that in terms of a background flux, these fields are classified by twisted K-theory and charges by twisted K1 for type 2A, and type 2B it's just switched, right? And maybe you need differential K-theory to get it. This is the topological sector. So I want to just tell you, give you a brief discussion of what twisted K-theory is, in case you're not familiar with it. So, so there's something called Dixmier-Dilday theory, which says that if you look at locally trivial algebra bundles, so I'll call it KP, I'll tell you what P is in a minute, with fiber, the algebra of compact operators, and structure group, the unitary group of the Hilbert space, PU, which is the unitary group of the Hilbert space divided by scalar multiples of the identity, unit scalar multiples of the identity. And these are in bijective correspondence with the third cohomology of X with the integer coefficients. And since you can get a nice morphism between K tensor, so compacts, tensor compacts with itself, these algebra bundles form a group called the infinite Brouwer group, and that's isomorphic. So the group structure is also respected. So it's isomorphic to the third cohomology as a group. So this is proved by noticing that U is contractible in some weak topology. So it's also contractible in the norm topology, but in this situation it's the weak topology which is important. So PU is the classifying space for circle bundles, or KZ2, since the circle is a KZ1, and therefore BPU is a KZ3, and this is why you have, therefore principal PU bundles are classified up to isomorphism by the third cohomology with integer coefficients, and the KP is the associated bundle, associated to this principal PU bundle. So it's P cross compact operators divided by PU. Right? And so for each, so for an algebra bundle of compact operators, you have a Dixmier-Dilday invariant, which is a third cohomology class. So also relevant is a theorem of Serre, which says that this cohomology class can be represented by a bundle whose fiber is finite dimensional if and only if the class is torsion. Right? So here's an example. So this decomposable non-torsion example. So you can find this, say, in like Brzezinski's book. So let A be the generator of the first cohomology of X, and B be an element in H2 of X. Alpha be one class in X. So alpha can be thought of as a character of the fundamental group, so a map from homomorphism from the fundamental group of X to Z. So you have a Z covering space associated to alpha, so they call that X hat. And beta can be thought of as principal circle bundle. So you can form the fiber product, which is a principal circle cross Z bundle over X. And it's with Dixmier-Dilday invariant alpha cup beta. So now, given a pair in U1 cross Z, so an element in circle cross an integer, so that acts on L2 of the circle. You may have seen this before in like Greg's talk. This you have a projective action of U1 cross Z on L2 of U1. So I won't go through the details. There's an obvious projective action, and that's the Heisenberg, the action of the Heisenberg group. And if you look at the associated bundle, it's a principal PGL, but actually a PU bundle over of the Hilbert space L2 of U1. And it sticks me to the invariant you can easily calculate as alpha cup beta. So whenever the third cohomology class is decomposable, you get a nice construction of the principal PU bundle using the Heisenberg group. And the twisted K theory, finally we get to the twisted K theory. It was defined by Rosenberg as the K theory of the algebra of continuous sections of this bundle of compact operators. So I'll denote this by CT of X and H, where H is the Dixmier-Dilday class of this bundle. So, and the twisted K-theory is denoted by case of x, h. It's a modulo over k of x and possesses some nice properties. I won't go through them. But back to T-duality in an H-flux. So, yeah. So the definition of the twisted K-theory, so it's this thing, this the notation for it, it's the K-theory of this algebra, right? So this is a bundle of algebras, but it's also an algebra, the sections, because the action is add, cross-sections of that algebra. So it's not, so in some of the papers with my colleagues at Adelaide, we came up with geometric definitions. I mean, this is slightly abstract, but since I'm not going to use the particular geometry, except in this situation, which maybe I won't give too much detail. So exactly as we lifted the discussion when the bundle was trivial, you can lift the discussion of T-duality to twisted K-theory, and you get a map which changes the parity. And again, it goes from the twisted K theory of E twisted by H to, from say, even to odd K theory of E hat twisted by H hat. And the maps are very similar. So you pull back an object here to the correspondence space, tensor well with some line bundle, but the line bundle doesn't live on the correspondence space. It lives on a PU bundle over the correspondence space. But I won't go through, I'll tell you how to prove this in another way. This is a geometric way to prove it, but there's another way to prove it using C-star algebras, which generalizes, and then you push forward again. So L is the substitute for the Poincaré bundle. It's not a line bundle of correspondence space, which there are many examples which there are no line bundles, but it's a line bundle over PU bundle over H, which takes a little while to describe, but I won't. We discuss it. And again, you have some T-duality. So you have T-duality in K-theory, T-duality in cohomology, and they're related by Chern character, and I always forget the invertible factor. But there's an A-hat or square root of A-hat going around here. I forgot. Sorry for that. So some calculations. So, I mean, I gave you one or two before, ADS5, process 5, etc. But you can, here are some nice examples also. If you take Lens space, which is the quotient of three sphere by ZP, then the Ki of Lens space L1J, and H is K times the volume. It's isomorphic to the K, so if you start with K0, it's K1 of L1K, and H equals J times the volume. So K and J get switched. And, well, you can play a lot of games. And some, and one of the things you observe is that when the background flux is a decomposable class, then it turns out that the twisted K-theory, which is generally only a group, it's not a ring, is a ring because it's T-dual to something which is a ring. So that's because the dual won't have a flux. There you get a nice, well, an amusing ring structure.
So the version of your statement that the earlier definition that it is that we are, would be just a wish of all, I imagine. Whereas the new pattern in your definition is just pattern is the periodic set, which is not implied by.
Yeah, on the level of K-theory, yeah.
Yeah, so that part is the
right
definition, and now the fact that the K-theory is exchanged is actually
that is the high definition. That's right, but I also think we never found an actual place where topologically non-trivial fluxes were actually written, except in special situations.
But there were examples, right?
There were examples, yeah, exactly. Right. But there was no general piece where I saw it, like, for instance.
Yeah.
On top of that, you have
the. On top of that, you also have the isomorphism K theory, exactly.
One more really quick question.
Yes.
In this kind of example where you have one K theory equal to another K theory,
yeah.
Is there also an equivalent to the level of the algebras of which you're making the K theory?
No, it turns out not in general, yeah, because I'll explain why that's the case, right? What's happening here is a kind of what's called a Thom isomorphism, but it's an unusual Thom isomorphism. It's not a standard one in topology. It's something which happens in C-star algebras. So it's only on the level of K-theory.
So is there in some sense a number of different algebras that you could be going to? You're not even sure if they exist.
Well, let me just tell you that, okay, this T-duality, to complete the picture, there is also a T-duality group. So I'll tell you that at the end, because I think that's not really that important. That turns out, well, okay, you have a pair, which is of T-dual spaces, and it's canonical. The definition, there are no ambiguities. But there are many pairs. From one pair, you can get to many pairs, and there's something called the classifying space for T-dual pairs, and the automorphisms of this is what you know very well as the T-duality group. So the action of the group on these pairs give you other pairs. Yeah. So, yeah, but that's another thing. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, cool. All right. Okay. Excellent. Thanks. Yeah. I mean, it's so the case of principal torus bundles. So I'll start with. I'm sorry. I'm not going up one at dimension at a time. But I just want to. T2 bundles, right? There's a new phenomenon which happens here itself, right? So this is some work with Jonathan Rosenberg that we started looking at, because it turned out that. So if you start off with oriented T2, so a principal torus bundle, so T2 bundle or M, so such things are classified again by the first term class, but the first term class now is a second cohomology class with values in Z squared. Okay, so I won't go through the details why that's the case, but just accept that. And we again assume that E has a background H flux, which is a third cohomology class on E with integer values. However, in this case, it was analyzed even in the case of a T2 bundle over the circle, which is just the product T3 over the circle, I think by some people in the audience here, so I'm not sure. But so when you try and do, the obvious way to do T-duality is do it one circle at a time. So when you do it one circle at a time, well, something surprising happens. You lose the second circle after doing T-duality on the first. So it was there was a lot of discussion on this, and so the T-dual is not in general another torus bundle over M. Okay. No, actually, the phenomenon, new phenomenon. No, it will be just in Z squared. The reason is the classifying space of the two torus, this is just the product of the classifying space circle and classifying space circle. So, in fact, it will turn out, if your question is relevant, that if M is simply connected, you do not have this problem. But the circle is not simply connected. So the issue comes up even in the case of circle. There won't be an issue. The T-dual will be classical if the fundamental group is trivial of M. So a famous example, as I was saying, was this two torus bundle over the circle. I forgot the names of the people who actually studied this, but sorry. Yes, that's right, cartesian derivative. But okay, sorry, I think I read it from your paper. So, yeah, but so the flux is k times the volume, and k is not zero. Then when you integrate along the fibers, you get something which is not zero, right? So you need something which is, if you want some symmetry in this picture, you need some non-trivial two torus bundles, but there's no second cohomology of the circle, so you're stuck. So in this paper with Jonathan, we proposed that the T-dual, in this case, is a continuous field of, forget those words, stabilized, but this of non-commutative tori, which are fibered over the circle. So I'll justify this, but I'll first remind you what the non-commutative torus is. So again, I think many people in the audience have written papers on it, but I'll just review it. So the non-commutative torus is for each theta in say 0, 1. It's defined abstractly as a C-star algebra generated by two unitaries in some Hilbert space, satisfying the Weil commutation relations. So UV is equal to some phase, which is e to the 2 pi I theta times VU. So the elements in, so you should think of elements in A theta as some kind of like Fourier series, but except that U and V don't commute, they commute up to a phase. And these, but I mean, I can't tell you about the convergence properties of the sequences, they're complicated. So here's another way to view this non-commutative torus. Its stabilization is, it's a foliation algebra of the Kronecker foliation, and that was the picture which I drew on the beginning of the first slide. It's a torus with that, well, it's this torus with the, I guess everyone knows this. It's a foliation. So you have a foliation angle theta. So there's a natural way to associate to the space of leaves of any foliation non-commutative algebra, and this was done by Lancome. So I won't. So another important realization, which occurs in physics though, is viewing it in terms of the Moyard product, right? Where this is most convenient because you can write the actions, etc., in terms of this product. So you look at Schwarz functions on R2 and you take some completion of it via this product, which can be written in two different ways. Yet another way is to take the partial Fourier transform of previous description, and then you can write it as functions on the circle, cross product with rotation by 2 pi theta. And that's why it's sometimes known as the rotation algebra. Let me tell you some properties of this. So when theta is a rational number, then A theta is Morita equivalent. So it's equivalent in terms of physics to functions on the two torus. But when theta is irrational, then A theta is a simple algebra, which means the spectrum consists of one point. It's highly non-commutative, right? And again, if this irrational is related to another irrational by a GL2Z matrix, then they're Morita equivalent. But there are many Morita equivalent classes of non-commutative tori. So let me state the theorem for rank 2 bundles. So let E be a principal 2 torus bundle and H again be a flux on E, the total space. So the first case is, there are two cases. You can integrate the 3 class over the fiber. That gives you integral 1 class on M, right? If this is 0, right? So for instance, a trivial case where 0 is when M is simply connected, right? It will always be 0. So then there's a uniquely determined classical T-dual consisting of another torus bundle, principal torus bundle, T2 I should say, over M. I seem to have made some typos here. So, and there's another T-dual flux on E hat, and it's done, the picture is done by dualizing one circle at a time. So dualizing one circle at a time works when you have a very analogous picture to the case of the circle bundle, right? But the interesting new case is when you integrate the 3 class over the fiber, and it's not zero in cohomology, right? So it's in the first cohomology of M with integer coefficients, and this is to remind you, these are homotopy classes of maps from the manifold to the circle, right? So so you take like the generator and the circle and pull back via map, so you get a one cohomology class. Then the classical T-dual does not exist, so T-dual one circle at a time, always the second circle disappears. So this is if and only statement. And in this case, there is a, however, we propose a non-classical T-dual, which is a continuous field of non-commutative tori over M, whose fiber at the point M is the rotation algebra, is the non-commutative torus with angle or theta equal to F of M, where F is the map from M to the circle, which represents the pi lower star of H. So it's there is some choice, right? There's but in natural situation you can pick a canonical choice, like if you have a metric or something. It's not unique, but the non-uniqueness doesn't affect the K-theory in general. So let me just say that the way, if you want to visualize what the non-commutative torus is, you can think of, so this is supposed to be M, and the fiber over it is a foliated torus. So geometrically, you think of this as a bundle of foliated tori, where the foliation angle changes according to the point you're at. So the sort of math theorem that we prove in this paper is with Jonathan is that for two torus bundles, there's an R squared action on E, which is, there's a torus action on E. Well, that, so the R squared action factors through the torus action. So this lifts to an action on the continuous trace, that bundle of compact operators. So, and it's, so the lifting theorem is actually, that was highly non-trivial, it turned out. So, but, and also there's not, the lift is not unique, but it depends on, but the K-theory doesn't depend on it. So in the case of, let me just, you would think that, you don't even, so what turns out, and I'll probably mention it in another slide, I was just trying to remember, is that when you have, say, an R action, that's the same as like a vector field. And then you can lift it to the PU bundle via connection, right? And it turns out that the surprising theorem, which Rabin and Rosenberg, that's one of the papers that are mentioned, they said that actually this R action on the cross product was independent of the choice of the connection. So that's a very surprising result, but it's reflected in the fact that the T-dual is unique, etc. But when you, of course, you can use a connection to lift two R actions, but there's no chance they will commute. It's not even clear that the bracketing actually is closed. So it's not. So this is why, in the case of R actions, you didn't even need a circle action. You just needed a vector field. So you can start off with something like a foliation on a torus, and lift that to the continuous trace to this bundle. But of course, when you take a cross product, the dual will be pretty horrible. It won't be a mother. Okay, sorry, maybe I said too much. But anyway, the T-dual, so this is a highly non-trivial result, the fact that you can get an R-squared lift of the original R-squared action on the base. Then the T-dual is defined to be the cross product. So I'll justify this in three different ways here. So. So I'll tell you what the cross product is in a minute also. So it has, so one thing, and I'll tell you, I've said it here, is that there's an action of the dual group, which is a dual vector space, and on this cross product, and there's something called Takai duality in another T duality, which says that, which works for general algebras, it says that this algebra is Morita equivalent to the algebra cross R squared cross the dual R squared. So if you apply T duality twice, you get back to something which is actually isomorphic in this case because it's a stable algebra. So this is the first justification of the cross product as being the T dual. So I'm just going to tell you briefly about what the cross product is, the definition. So if you have a C-star algebra and it has an action of a locally compact abelian group such as Rn, which is the only case I'm going to consider, then the cross product is some completion of continuous functions on G, compactly supported, with values in A, and the product is the convolution product on G, but you have to take into account the action of G on A, that's all. And that's given by these relations. So I'm not going to write it out in full detail, but it's roughly the convolution algebra of the group. Right? So on this cross product, there's an action of the dual group. I mean, that's given just by multiplication. A dual is a linear function also. It acts by multiplication on functions on the group. And these are the relations. There are some relations. And Takai duality says that this isomorphism actually holds for general C-star algebras. But if they are stable, you don't need to tensorify K. Stable means A tensor K is isomorphic to A. So here's the second justification. So I claim that there's an isomorphism of K theories. So the twisted K theory of E, twisted by H, is isomorphic to the K-theory of something which I call the T-dual, right? There's no shift because it's R squared, it's a two torus. You're T-dualizing twice. So, this is delta should have been H, thank you. So H hat, no, it should have been H, sorry, just H, right? And this is a K theory of a C star algebra. So the dot goes down. Sorry, it's just K theory, it's not K homology. And this is something called the Kohn-Thom isomorphism theorem. So it doesn't give an isomorphism of algebras, it only gives an isomorphism on the level of K theory. So there are many instances where you can show that they're wildly different. But it's very, it's in the spirit of the something which is called the Baum-Kohn conjecture, related to that. So this is the second justification. And you also have another diagram as such, relating T-duality and K-theory and cohomology, where the cohomology, the relevant cohomology is the periodic cyclic cohomology. And there's the bottom isomorphism was the analog of the Kohn-Thom isomorphism by Elliot Natsume and Nest. So an example of this, back to the example of T2 bundle over T3, right? And H being K times the volume on the three torus, then this cross product, it turns out, is isomorphic to the C-star algebra of the integer Heisenberg group. The integer Heisenberg group is just the three-dimensional Heisenberg group where you replace x, y, and z as integers, and the k comes in the z, 1 on k. Okay. So it's a lattice in the usual Heisenberg group, and it's a z central extension of z squared. So there's a there's a Mackey induction via the center, so you take a character and induce, it gives a direct integral decomposition of C star of the integer Heisenberg group in terms of the rotation algebras. So at each point in the circle, you look at the non-commutative torus parameterized by that point. Okay, so that's actually this is the example that we worked out and figured out the general theory. So here's the third justification of the T-dual. So we can reformulate T-duality for circle bundles, right? Via, I think I discussed some of this before. So if you have a circle bundle and you can form the algebra sections of the compact operator bundle on E with spectrum equal to E and Dixmier Dule invariant equal to H, and using a connection on the principal PU bundle, so you can lift the R action to an R action on the continuous trace algebra, and the surprising thing is the cross product is unique by there's an R action, so like a vector field which you want to lift to the total space of the principal bundle, and you have a corresponding, so it's exactly the same as before for circle bundles. And so Rabe and Rosenberg show that this cross product, since you have an R action, you can restrict to Z action. That'll be the correspondence space, it turns out, the spectrum of that algebra. And the spectrum of the cross product will be the T dual. So the spectrum is. So it's just like non-commutative geometry, you replace the space by the ring of functions, just like in algebraic geometry, you take the coordinate ring. So the spectrum corresponds to the points of the space. So these spaces turn out to be nice in this case.
These are actually manifolds.
Yeah, these are manifolds, and this is a principal circle bundle, the T-dual circle bundle. So what they showed was this T-duality, really, but via algebras. Sorry? This is circle bundle. So I want to justify the procedure of cross product. So I go back to the circle bundle, redo it in terms of algebras, and claim that we recover the T-duality for circle bundles this way. Yes,
to start with
and end with, but we didn't do it because what strike, yes, you can do that, but what, no, not for non-abelian. So we use Takai duality in a strong way, and that's only, for abelian algebra and C-style, I think so, but we haven't done it, because I want to say, the striking features, usually when you do string theory, so usually there are two groups, people who do string theory in non-commutative spaces and people who do it on classical spaces. But here, you start off with the classical theory and the T-dual, you're forced to consider this non-classical. The T-dual, say, the non-commutative space term.
Yes, I have a question. If you take the same idea, bring the spectrum on the
T-2
case,
yes.
Then it will depend on what function you choose, right? Because you said that the spectrum is a point spectrum.
That's right.
You're not in Q.
Yeah.
So for different choices of how that function works, you can get different locations where you get
the spectrum of torus.
So that seems like, and there should be some physical meaning, I would assume, to the spectrum.
It has to take all values if it's.
It's continuous. It has to go through rational and irrational values.
It's going to densely take rational values into the spectrum.
You're not really going to fiberwise
spectrum. Yeah, the fiberwise spectrum will. Yes, it has to go through the entire circle if the winding number is non-zero, if the cohomology class is non-zero. It has to take all values.
And you're insensitive to which choice of function you choose.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. But when you choose like a metric, you can choose a harmonic function point. And so there's some canonical choices sometimes. Okay, but it's not necessary to the theory. But in the circular bundle case, it's different. It's nice in the sense that there is no choice because all actions, right, all lifts will give exactly the same spectrum.
Well, presenting with
three-dimensional class, you can create a preferred choice of function, because when you integrate down, you get a one form.
That's right.
Integrating that will give you your theta.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, there are natural choices when you take, when you pick a form, yes, representative things. Okay, so this is...
Can you just say what the spectrum is?
It's just like the states, or... So something like, you can think of this as like, just like in algebraic geometry, like prime ideals, just some... No?
Not for
non-commutative, but the spectrum consists of, well, there is a technical definition for the spectrum, but it's, for me, I'm not going to, I'll tell you that later, I mean, yeah. But it's the analog of the states. So what happens when you generalize to rank n, right, so torus bundles? So let me just tell you. So this is some work with Jonathan. So if you take a rank n torus bundle, then there is another obstruction which comes up, right? When you want to lift, suppose you want to lift the Rn action on the total space to an Rn action on the algebra bundle. So this action lifts if and only if the restriction of H to the fiber is zero in the third cohomology. So this is a non-trivial obstruction only when n is greater than or equal to 3. For dimension reasons, it's trivial when n is less than or equal to 2. So, but when you can do it, so if the restriction to of H to each fiber to the, so the restriction is zero, is trivial, then the T-dual is again the cross product, which is, again, you can show it's a continuous field of non-commutative tori, and there's a integration along the fiber map, which takes you now not to the first cohomology of M, but first cohomology of M with coefficients in H2 of the N torus with integer coefficients. So it's a homotopy class of maps from M to TK, where K is N choose 2. And again, you can describe it in terms of a map from M to the K torus. and the fiber of this is a non-commutative n-dimensional torus, rank n torus, which whose angle is f of x. So if f is so it's again if Pylos, so integration, this generalized integration along the fiber is trivial, then you have a classical situation again, right? And if it's non-classical, if and only if this integration along the fiber is non-zero. And again, you have the picture that I showed you before. There's an isomorphism in K-theory. The upper arrow is again the Tom isomorphism, Kohn's Tom isomorphism. Lower arrow is the analog of it in cyclic theory. So the observation is, as I said, so you have a classical space-time compactified on some non-trivial torus bundle with some non-trivial background flux. The T-dual in general is a field of non-commutative, is a non-commutative space-time, which is a field of non-commutative tori. So people, we noticed later that actually the action had been considered. So where, so if the if it was just a product space, it was known in many, many papers. But in this particular paper by Rangmuhl, and I forgot, I was trying to remember the co-authors, but I forgot. They look at a field of non-commutative tori in the case of one particular example, namely the three torus. Rangmuhl. Ram, yeah, R-A-M, Gulam, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's not spelled right, sorry. Yes, that's right. He wrote to me and pointed out that actually in a paper in 2003 they had considered a field of non-commutative tori and wrote the action in terms of the Mayow product, etc. So I just have a few more minutes before I'll tell you something. So in the general case, well, there was an obstruction to doing this, namely the restriction of the three class to the fiber is non-trivial. It has to be trivial. So supposing that the restriction to the fiber is non-trivial, then you get some other object. So I claim, so this is the case when you think of a three torus over point, right? Three torus one lower point. That's the most difficult case, and non-trivial H flux. So you can look at, say, three generators, U1, U2, U3, and they're not associated. So there's some tri-character, which is an element, say, in the Lie algebra of the vector group, which is Rn, or R3 if you want. And we call the algebra generated by this the non-associative torus. So it also has appeared, well, he didn't quite consider the algebra, but he came up with some anomaly in quantum field theory, I think. So it turns out that the right context for studying this and its hybrids, yeah. No, that's right. I'll tell you in a minute, right? You can think of them as bounded operators of Hilbert space, but you don't take composition. You take a new product on bounded operators. I'll tell you that, you know, I'll give you a flavor of it. I can't tell you everything, but so the right context for studying it is the theory of generalized, what we call generalized C-star algebras in some monoidal or tensor category of G hat modules. G is just the abelian group, and take. And with non-trivial associative given by this tri-character. So this is written in that work with Keith Hanapas and Peter Bartner. So let me just state the theorem and I'll tell you about bounded operators, etc. The theorem, the Van Kant case, but so if you take a torus bundle, principal torus bundle, and a general three flux, and suppose now that the restriction of the three cohomology class is not zero, right? Then I claim that the T-dual, then you don't have a lift of the Rn action, but there is some twisted lift. So there's something weaker than an Rn action, right? And on this algebra, and we define the T-dual to be the cross product, some twisted cross product. And this twisted cross product is non-associative. It turns out to be non-associative, right? And the fiber, in each fiber, it looks like a non-associative torus, but there is some, it's a hybrid between a non-commutative and non-associative torus. So it contains both. So yeah, I haven't yet justified. I define the twisted cross product in the case when you can't take the cross product. And I'll justify this again in the same way as we did before, right? So I claim this is, I am not going to give you the technical definition because it's quite, but I invite you to look at it in my paper. So the first justification is, first thing we do is an untwisting trick. So this twisted cross product, when you stabilize by compact operators on, I'll tell you what, L2 of Rn actually, then it turns out to be this algebra which is associative, but tensor with some non-associated deformation of the compact operators, and then a cross product with Rn. So let me just tell you about that. So K phi is some non-associated definition of compact operators. So what I mean, it's really just compact operators as a set, but the product is not composition, but it's a twisted composition. So on smoothing operators, right? So if, say you take T1 and T2 to be smooth kernels, then it's just the composition, you would not have phi. When you throw in the tri-character phi, you get a twisted composition. Right. So, and you can actually extend this to bounded operators on, and so you can call, let's say, a naive way of doing this generalized C-star algebra theory is to look at subalgebras, star subalgebras of this bounded operators, but with this new composition. And again, what's important here is not an arbitrary Hilbert space, but they have to be G-hat modules, so the Hilbert space has to be L2 of Rm, or some module of G-hat, the Hilbert space, which is G-hat RQ. So we prove a new Takai duality theorem, namely that if you take the Rn action and the dual, there's a dual action of Rn, because this is really an ordinary Rn action, but acting on this non-associative algebra, but the non-associativity is very controlled. It's all in this twisted complex.
There should be a limit applied where the star product does become complex.
Yeah, when phi is 1. Yeah, that's it. It's just that's the composition of smoothing operators, right? I'm writing the integral kernel in terms. So it's this is the duality in that special case that we prove it, but in this new context. So it enables us to conclude that T-duality applied twice is the identity. So that's one justification, right? But in some work in progress, we've proved a Kohn-Thom isomorphism theorem. So for general non-associative algebras, you can't even talk about modules, etc., etc. But when we work in the tensor category, actually it turns out to be quite simple. But most people who have worked in it have not taken into account topology. So I think that's, well, some people may have, but we still. So, but we prove a Kohn-Thom isomorphism in this case, and that justifies it. And again, it reduces to the all the previous cases. Right? So anyway, that's the summary of the four important cases. So, the three torus, we saw the free field theory, and the T-dual when there's no background flux is the dual torus. And if you have, when you think of it as a trivial circle bundle of T-torus, of the two torus, then the T-dual is the Heisenberg nil manifold, which is the Heisenberg group divided by the integer Heisenberg group, and with zero flux. So, and when you think of the three torus, k times volume, as a trivial two torus bundle over the circle, then the T-dual is a continuous field of non-commutative tori, and globally it looks like the C-star algebra of the integer Heisenberg lattice. And finally, the three torus considered as a trivial, of course, three torus bundle over point, then the T-dual is the non-associative torus A phi, where phi is the tri-character associated to the A background flux. So what I didn't talk about, and so there are also what's interesting is to study invariance of these algebras, right? So this is not quite done, but there is a conjectural invariance of these algebras, and this is in the paper on Giesing sequences with Peter Bartnik and Keith Hanabas. We did, however, prove it for rank 2 torus, the T-duals of rank 2 torus bundles. So for non-commutative fields of non-commutative tori, when the rank is 2, we did establish that our conjecture in the Giesing sequence paper actually is true. But in general, actually, we don't know. We haven't proved anything. Well, the computation becomes quite hard. And there's also something which we analyzed in detail, the classifying space for T-dual pairs, and whose automorphism group is just the usual T-duality group. So once you have a pair, you can get a whole bunch of other pairs by the action of this T-duality group. So that's it. Thank you.
Dangerous to give one list of references at the beginning.
Yes,
you left out two
Yes, over Freeman. No, that's differential. Okay. Yes, I meant I did.
No, those were part of the development.
Ah, okay, good. Sorry.
Okay, my question was, yeah. If I remember correctly, when you take and you think about orbifolds in the non-commutative setting,
yeah.
Then what you're led to these cross-product algebras,
yeah.
And so the orbifold of an orbifold is often the original space, and
right.
That's Takai duality.
That's again Takai duality.
So is it useful to think in terms of orbifolds in this case?
Yeah, it's useful. There's a cross.
That T well as an orbifold.
Sure. Yeah, except that it's not geometrically an orbifold. Yeah, geometrically the functions on an orbifold, one at least a la Kohn,
yes.
You think of it as a cross product.
Absolutely.
So and it's if it's and well in general it doesn't have to be a cross product by an abelian group, right?
But you're using abelian.
I'm using abelian groups, so Takai duality works when you have a non-abelian group in the orbifold case. You don't have Takai duality in general, because you don't have, well, there's a, not a decent, well, at least I'm not aware of it. But yeah.
Another question?
None of such invariables are the sort of thing people run away from.
That's right. But I want to say they're not so bad,
no,
because they're C-style algebras in another category, in the tensor category.
I was confused by that. Mm-hmm. But one invariable, none of such invariables, people do like, no yeah. K-now.
Yeah.
You can't really interpret the non-associative multiplication there and come nicely like go.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I mean, you got your non-associative scheme came from probably a simple multiplication form.
Yeah.
Very simple and elegant. And I'm wondering whether the King numbers have.
No, this is
all. Interpretation.
No, the Octonians, yeah, are. Talking to King numbers?
Yeah,
yeah. No, those are. That's a group algebra. In Shams Majid's work, he views that he gets it as a, so we can get it as a special case of this cross-product. Yeah.
So it
does fit in for finite group though. It's a very simple case of only a finite group. So it's a finite dimensional algebra. So it's a group algebra. Well. Non-associative group algebra, but with a finite group. He gives it as an example in, well, there's many papers. Somebody.
Your four students are non-associative algebras because you want to preserve abundant structure.
Right.
But suppose you simply ask,
mm-hmm.
You have a C-star algebra and an abelian group of automorphisms.
Right.
What's its T-dual? Where can you go without starting with bundle structures and ending up with bundle structures?
Yeah, if the group is abelian, so the non-trivial statement was to lift some action to an action, right, of the algebra, of the C-star algebra. So the starting point is not an action of the C-star algebra. You get something slightly less than an action of a C-star, of a group on a C-star algebra. So it's kind of a twisted action where a twist is some 3 cocycle on the group. So the starting point was not. If you had an action, then everything is fine. You can take the dual action on the cross product and keep going. That way.
So you would have T duality.
You would have T duality. The point is.
Degree generality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine. Geometric cases, you started out with some data, namely a bundle and an H-field,
yes.
And you have a dual which have data at the same time.
That's right, yeah.
And now in the non-geometric cases, you told us what the non-geometric dual of a geometric piece of data is.
Yes.
But is there some general formulation which includes both of them,
yeah, that
which is invariant under T-dual?
Yeah, this is what, I mean, partly we can do it, but to get the full set of invariants for this algebra in a sensible way, we can only do it for the rank 2 case. So that's part of the open question. To get, we have a conjectured set of invariants for this TDO, and that's written in a paper right at the beginning with the, it's, let me just go back. Yeah. So this is in some paper with this TDLH for principal correspondence and dimensionally reduced scaling series, that we have some conjectured invariance of these. But it's not yet proved, except the non-geometric, the only non-geometric case is the rank 2 case. So seems very hard, actually, that's one thing, but it's an open, interesting problem, I think.
Yeah, actually, a similar question, but I'll just carry it a little further, maybe. So, as you say, there should be some invariance associated with the rank 2 tori and the rank 3 tori. It seems from string theory there are probably some constraints on what combinations of those invariants you're allowed to have.
Right.
Can you see those constraints arising out of your formalism?
Well, like I said, only formally, not really rigorously. And the formal thing is written in this, all we know is written in that paper. I'm afraid it's a very loose link. It's not really. So
these are presumably some integer parameters. These.
Yeah, they're not cohomology classes. They are some kind of, it's hard to say what, but it's in this paper, yeah. So I'm sorry, I can't really say it. I think it's similar to what you wrote in board when I talked to you. But,
That was actually something slightly different.
Okay. Okay, sorry.
Further questions?